welcome to the New Author Podcast with your hosts, Jerry Evanoff and Lindsay Evanoff. The Super Siblings will take you through their days as they write, publish, and market their books. They'll talk about their successes, their mistakes, and everything in between. And occasionally, they'll veer off into tangents that will most likely be discussion of which episode of The Office is their favorite. Seriously, they talk about The Office a lot. So sit back, relax, and prepare to be educated and entertained, but mostly entertained.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Author Podcast. Today is, May 31st, 2020. This is episode 79, and I am Jerry Evanoff, and here I am. I don't have anything clever to say to introduce you this time, so I'm just going to go right into the introducing. I am here with my co-host, Lindsay Evanoff. Lindsay, how are you doing? This fine.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's been a weekend, so.
Yeah, you've had a rough one.
Yeah, I'll get to that when we get into the last week's recap so that I can talk about Friday. And the fun that Friday became. Other than that, I'm fine. I got up this morning and did a little bit of writing, which I don't normally do before the podcast, but I had a short chapter to work on. So I got through most of it, but not all of it. Statistically speaking for the week, I am at 60,385 words, up 1,134 words from last week. That's my Scrivener file. My Scrivener file has all 51 chapters. I think there are three chapters that need to be written. They haven't been written yet at all. So
51 chapters?
Yeah.
Whoa.
My in terms of my finished chapters, if you look at my Scrivener, there are 29. Actually, there are 28 chapters that are green and finished. But technically, I have 29 marked off here. I have 38,794 words in the finished chapters of 29 out of 51. The 29th chapter isn't actually finished yet. Like I said, I worked on it this morning. It's all written. The story's done. I need to add a little bit more to it. There's a couple scenes where I need to add a little bit of emotion to it. So I'm going to do that when we're done. And then 29 chapters out of 51 will be finished. And I'm way more than halfway, which makes me very happy. Mailer Light, I am up to 557 email addresses, up 27 from last week. If you remember 2 weeks ago, I was just hoping to get to 500. By the time book two was ready. And now I'm shooting for 600. This book funnel that I've done over the past couple weeks has been really, really good, a lot better than I thought. And I have a story origin one that starts tomorrow. So I have a very good shot of getting to 600. The problem with that is that means I'm giving my book two free to 600 people instead of 500. But again, you know, I get it. It's fine. I know I've decided that I'm only going to make it free between, like, let's say my book comes out, I don't know, August 20th. And let's say I get it back from the editor on August 10th, which is actually the day I'm sending it to the editor. But let's say I get back from the editor on August 10th. I'm only going to make it free for the 10 days that it's not available for sale yet, because it'll be in Kindle Unlimited and I can't give it away once it's in Kindle Unlimited. So I'll give it away for free for those 10 days or so. But once it goes into Kindle Unlimited, and I'll tell people in the email, if you want to download this for free, you have to do it before it goes live. So
yeah.
And then in the most important stat of the week, I golfed last week and I shot a very, very good 46, my lowest score of the year. And one of my lowest scores at that course, if I shoot below 47, 48, I'm really happy. I had three pars. I made like a 35-foot putt on number 7 for a par. So, and that was really cool. And it was a really good golf week. And I'm looking forward to Tuesday night now.
You always golf at the same place?
Yeah, we golf the same place, the same 9 holes every week. They a lot of leagues, what they'll do is they'll rotate you. Like, you'll play the front 9, then the back 9, then the front 9, then the back 9. They've been playing in this league for like 30 years. I've been in it for 10. They've been playing it for like 30 years. And for whatever reason, they only play the front 9 every year. And only in the last couple of years have I been asking, hey, can we play the back every now and then? And last year, I think they put us out on the back like 4 or 5 times. The year before that, maybe 2 times. This year, I don't know if there's any plans to put us out to the back. Nobody said anything. I haven't said anything, so I have no idea what's going to happen. But yeah, so let's see. So those are my stats for the week. How about you?
I am at 85,775 words in draft 6 of book 1. So I'm down 172 words. But I didn't really work on it a whole lot. I'm still on chapter 18. Well, chapter 18, I haven't started yet. I finished chapter 17. So I haven't worked on it all week, actually. Mom is up to chapter 23. I'm assuming she's going to finish this week. She has 8 more chapters to do. So if, even if she does one a day, she'll be finished a week from tomorrow, which is fine too. On the prequel, I've been working on the prequel all week, which I've named. I think I'm going to call it Forbidden. The prequel isn't going to be published. I'm at 9,919 words. There's 9 chapters. They're quite short. It's just kind of like a blow by blow of when all these characters met, basically. So I'm going to put it out to my subscribers. And then a week or two later, I really want to do a book funnel promo using that prequel. So hopefully that'll get me some subscribers before the book is published, but it'll be after the pre-order starts. So I don't know. I need to figure it out, and I need to contact our editor to see if she can kind of squeeze it in at some point too. Hopefully she can. I have one new subscriber, so I have 119 active and one unconfirmed. My newsletter went out this past Tuesday. It has a 41.88% open rate and a 10.26% click rate. So pretty happy with that. I've been right around the 40 percentile, a little higher, not so much lower. So that's good. As far as news goes, I got some feedback from my betas for that first round or that first group of chapters that I sent. And I really like the feedback. Everybody seems to enjoy the story. Most of my betas are saying, hey, it's great. Everything is good. Didn't notice anything. I had to look up this word. One of my betas, which is the one that I chose first, and I knew exactly as soon as she applied, I knew she was going to be one of my betas. She probably gave the most constructive feedback. It was kind of like, you know, what does this person look like? You describe them later, like 2 chapters later, but I can't visualize what he looks like when you first introduce him, you know, things like that. So her feedback was really good. I really enjoyed that. So like I said, in draft 6, I'm on chapter 18 and Mama's on chapter 23. I'm currently on chapter 6 of the second draft of the prequel. And there's 9 chapters. So I wanted to do 2 chapters a day last week, and just get it finished so that I can send it to Mom today. But, you know, Kian's not in school and Jeremy doesn't really go to work that much. So I don't get 2 chapters done. I do get 1 chapter done, which is great. I sent a kind of like a mini, not bio, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Like a blurb?
Yeah, like a blurb, like a rundown of my book to some person that I found on, I don't know how to say it, Fiverr? Fiverr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent it to somebody from there to do a book trailer. And I got an email back Thursday evening saying that they would have something to me in 24 to 48 hours, but I haven't received anything yet. So maybe it's 24 to 48 working days, hours. I don't know. Anyway, if I don't get anything by tomorrow night, I'll probably send them a message and say, hey, what's happening? I also sent chapter 8 of book 1 to the editor to sample, and I loved her feedback. She does a great job. In the email that she sent, she said, tell me if this is too much. And I'm thinking to myself, who in their right mind would say, oh yes, you made way too many corrections. Like, give me all you got, lady.
Yeah, she did the same thing to me. It was great.
Yeah. So I was looking at it, and you know, my book is in a Word document and her corrections are in a Word document. And so on my computer, I would have to keep, you know, like switching screens back and forth. So I think I'm going to set up one of my monitors from back when I was an investigator and hook my computer to that so I can have her edits on one screen and then actually do the edits on a different screen just so I don't have to keep switching back and forth.
I remember when I got her edits back from my full book. I sent her the whole thing, took her a couple weeks, she sent it back. I remember going through the first page and after like 1 or 2 pages, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to accept everything she did. It's fine. I'm not going through this whole thing. And I just accepted everything. And then I read through it after that, but I didn't read each sentence with what I did and what she did, because I thought this is going to take me months. And I thought, she's smarter than me when it comes to this stuff, so I'm happy. And then I just accepted everything. And then I read it to over 5 nights. I read every chapter to myself just to make sure it made sense. And there were a couple things I had to change, but very few.
Yeah. Yeah. There's quite a bit there. I'll probably go through it one comment at a time just because I want to. And I have plenty of time. I'm not concerned about the time issue. I'm officially on her calendar for July 20th. So I'm really excited about that. And nice. I'll definitely have everything done by then. I'll have everything back for my betas and I'll be done. And then I also contacted James at Humble Nations, where I purchased 5 credits last September about a book cover for the prequel. It's not going to be published, but I still wanted it to look nice. So I still wanted to have a cover. And I
If you're going to give it away as a promo, they're going to download it as if it was a real book and put it on their Kindle or their whatever devices. So it's going to look like a real book.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I had a cover. So I had a cover made for book one with a credit, and he put your name on it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. It was very funny.
Yeah. So I sent him an email. I just said, hey, this is a cover that you created before. I need to change the title on it and actually put my name on it, not my brother's. Is this picture still available? And I haven't heard back from James. So hopefully this week he'll get back to me. And then if that cover is not available, that's fine. I'll just pick out a new one.
Wait, is this the guy from Go On Right or whatever it is?
The email I got says Humble Nations. Is that the same?
I don't know. I have 7 credits from him.
Yeah, it is. Go On Right.
I had no idea that it was called Humble Nations.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have 7 credits from him, and I'm just going to use them for my prequels, because I published mine. I was the same as you. I originally wasn't going to publish it, and I just threw it on Amazon for 99 cents just for kicks. I've made a couple sales, but really it's for free promos the whole way.
Yeah. But,
okay. I didn't realize. Okay. That's why he put my name, because I bought something for him just before you did. That's right.
Well,
okay.
And in the original email that I sent to him, one of the questions was, how did you hear about me? And I put Jerry Evanoff, but then the next question was author name, and I put Lindsay Evanoff, and you know, same last name. I can see how he would get it confused. It's not a big deal. But I do want my name on my book, not yours.
Sure, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Unless it's really written really well and it sells, and then I'm happy.
Well, it is written really well. Hey, speaking of, I sent you the same link that I sent my betas for the landing page. Did you look at my book at all?
I have not.
Because last week you told me that it sucked.
I did? Oh, yeah. I hadn't read it yet.
Yeah. So you need to get on that so that you can...
change my
mind?
You
can not change your mind. Change your words.
Okay.
Tell me how awesome it is.
Okay. If that's what really what you want to hear, okay.
No, I want to hear the truth, but I don't think you'll think that it sucks.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Okay. Anyway, that's all my news. What's going on with you?
So I have a bunch of stuff here. Before I get into the non-writing goals, which is what I talk about every week, I want to mention real quick my favorite part of writing. It happened again this week. It happens every now and then while I'm editing. And it's that whole thing where I'm in the middle of editing a chapter and I'll be writing a sentence, and then all of a sudden I'll just write some sentence that completely changes like this whole plot line. And I didn't expect it when I started the sentence. And then as I'm writing it, I just write it. And it goes back to that thing that I've said many times where before I started writing, I would hear people on podcasts say my characters talk to me. And I would think that was really stupid, because you're the author, the characters don't talk to you, you write what they say. And then I started writing, and I would just start writing the sentence, and right in the middle of it, I would just change my mind. And it was as if the character was doing their own thing. And then it becomes this whole storyline. And that happened to me this week. A whole new storyline came up. It's probably something that's going to happen now in book 3, based on one sentence that I wrote. And it's like this hallelujah moment, or whatever you say, you know, where the bright lights shine.
Yeah.
And what I'm terrible at metaphors, apparently. but that's what it was. And that's my favorite part about writing. First drafts can be fun, and plotting can be fun. I know a lot of people hate editing. I actually like editing. But that is my favorite part of writing, is when I'm just in the middle of a sentence and the sentence comes out different than what I thought it would, and it changes the plot of what I'm working on, or it adds a new plot for the next book or whatever. And yeah, that mm-hmm. happened to me this week. So let's see, in terms of non-writing goals, I told you before I want to get to 500, and now I'm on my way to get to 600. I have that Book Funnel promo that started on May 15th, and it actually goes until June 15th. June 15th is going to be an interesting day because I'm going to be in a car all day. It has 158 books in it. So far it has 287 clicks, which means people opened the page, they clicked on a bunch of books, including mine, and I'm at 133 claims, which is actually under 50%. It's the first time I've noticed that I'm under 50% in any of these promos. I'm always over 50%, not far over, usually around 60, but now I'm under 50%. That kind of sucks. So I'm going to play around. I have a story origin promo that starts tomorrow, goes from June 1st to June 30th. There's currently only 37 authors in it with 48 books. I think I'm going to go into that sometime today and change the blurb and see if maybe I can do something that either makes it better, hopefully not worse, but make a change to it to see if I can get the numbers up, basically, is what I want to do.
Do you think that because there was 158 books in that promo, that's why the click rate is lower?
Well, I mean, it's possible that you could have somebody, you know, you could have a small minority of people who clicked it. And then when they had to put the, now the one thing about BookFunnel is when you click a book, you put your email address in and then you download the book. Well, when you click the next book, it remembers your email address. So you don't have to type it again. Really, mm-hmm. all you do is you click the book. You hit the button that says submit because your email address is already in there. Now you do have to go through and click the link to download it. So you get an email link. So if there's 158 books in there and you want to download 50 of them, you know, by the time you get to the 50th, you could click it, the link comes and you're like, oh, I got so many of these, and just stop. But I don't know. Maybe a small part, maybe a small number of those is because of that. I doubt it's a very big number. I don't know. I think people just probably read the, either didn't like the cover or they read the blurb and thought, ah, this isn't for me. I think I wrote it in a time travel-y sort of way, but I know, when I was looking at, I looked at the Kindle, what is it called? Publisher Rocket software that I use to generate keywords. And in that same software, it'll show you a bunch of, genres and how they're received on Amazon. And one of the ones that was received really well, but didn't have a big number of books in the genre, was Old West. And that book takes place partially in the Old West. And actually book two is going to be completely Old West. So what I might do is change the blurb to reflect more about the Old West with a time travel element than what I did. It's more about, hey, you know, this guy's a software guy or hardware guy at a company right now. And what I might do is make it more about the Old West, especially since it's going to be a 3-book trilogy of novellas, and book two and potentially book three are going to take place mostly in the Old West. So
that was my favorite part of your book, when he was in the Old West.
Yeah. And that's something that I've noticed, is that publisher Rocket said there are not very many books that run in the Old West, but there's a big demand for it. Like, it makes a lot of money. Those small amount of books make a lot of money. So I remember I took some notes. I have a note card hanging on my back wall that says like Old West. And then it says, historical detective is one of them. There's like 3 or 4 genres that I looked at that I could work into time travel that are underserved, but they make a lot of money. The ones that are there make a lot of money per month. So I really like that Publisher Rocket software. I'd say go get it if you don't have it. So
yeah, I was just actually looking it up while you were talking.
Yeah, it's what I use to generate not only the keywords that I put in ads, but also the, you know, when you publish your book, you have a place where you can put in keywords. There's like 7 blanks in Amazon. There's 7 slots where you can put keywords, and I use them to generate those keywords also. And
it looks like it's $97. I think that's a pretty good deal for something that will give you legit information to help you make sales.
And it's up to date information. So it's because they're, you know, whenever you do a search, it comes from, I believe it's real time Amazon results. I don't know if it's like a monthly thing and then you're just looking at the last month, or I think it's real time, but I'm not sure. Do they have a Mac version? Because you would be buying a Mac version.
That's what I was looking for.
I have a Windows version.
Let's see. If I click on get it now.
Publisher Rocket. Yeah, it's a good software. And then the guy who wrote it, I believe it's Dave Chesson. That's the first name that came to my mind. I hope I got that right. There's a picture.
It doesn't say if there's a different version for Mac.
I would assume there is, but I'm not sure.
Is it an app or a website?
No, it's a an app for your computer. It's not an app for. I don't think they have a phone app. It's actually a computer application, like a desktop or laptop computer application.
I'm looking on the site. I don't see anything that says, you know, specifically for Mac or for PC.
Yeah. That might be something we have to check on. Anyway, the guy who wrote it is Dave Chesson, and he actually goes to all the 20 book shows and he speaks at all of them. He's really fun to watch. So,
okay. I just Googled it. And according to Publisher Rocket, it says Rocket will work on PC and Mac computers. It works for Mac 10.9 above in all versions of Windows except Vista and older than 10 years.
Yeah, so it should be good. Yeah.
Yeah. So anybody out there who wants it, if you have a Mac, it'll work.
All right. So like I said, the story origin starts tomorrow, June 1st, which means I have to schedule an email for tomorrow. So I'll probably write that later on this afternoon. I haven't yet bought, I know I talked about this last week. I haven't bought the 1 year subscription to MailerLite yet. It's $84. So if you have less than 1,000 emails on MailerLite, it's free. Obviously you don't have to pay anything, but there are certain features that I would like to have. And well, actually there's just one feature I'd like to have, which is the ability to send an email a couple days later to the people who didn't open the first email. And so let's say I send an email and it gets, I send it to 500 people and it gets 30% open rate, which is what, about 150. That means 350 emails are going to get sent to, again, to the people who didn't open it. I could probably put a different subject line in there and try to get them to open it. But my question would really be is if they didn't open the first one, and let's say most of them happen to open any of them, then what guarantee is they'll open it again? And is that really worth the $84? I don't know. That's for 1 year. It does cost $10 a month if you just do it monthly. And I'm thinking maybe I'll do a month and see how it goes. And if I get a, you know, if I get a decent number of people who open it, then I would maybe think about doing the $84. But right now I can't see that it's worth it to send a second email. So I don't know. I'm still kicking that around. That's something I'll kick around today and try to figure out what I want to do. All right, so let's talk about something a little bit. Actually, let's talk about my cover first. It's May 31st. I mentioned last week that I got a response from Stuart Bache and his people saying that I should get something by the end of the month. Well, today is the end of the month and I haven't got anything yet, so I'm hoping to see something today or tomorrow. Maybe it's what you said about the Fiverr guy, where maybe they don't mean 24 to 48 hours. They actually mean 24 to 48 business hours.
Maybe
today's Sunday. Maybe I'll get something tomorrow. I'm supposed to get some proofs though that I can look over. Quick financial update. And this is something I haven't told you yet. I'm pretty sure I get paid on I know I get paid on June 12th this month, right? Yeah, I get paid on June 12th this month, in June. That's 2 weeks from a couple days ago. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to pay my car off.
Nice. I paid my car off 2 days ago.
Oh, nice. I have enough money in my savings account right now that once I get paid, I can move it over and pay my car off. And that's, for those of you who don't know, I'm doing the Dave Ramsey baby steps method to get out of debt. Step one is to save $1,000 for emergency fund, which, by the way, as I texted you a couple days ago, I now know what the emergency fund is used for because I have to use it. $1,000 is your emergency fund. And then after that, you baby step number two is you pay off everything but your house. I'm currently near the end of baby step two. Once I pay my car off, I'll have left is a credit card and my house. So the credit card is the last step. I was originally saving money the last couple of months just in case, my job got laid off from my job because, you know, business is obviously down based on the whole COVID thing, but, I'm feeling pretty confident about it. I should knock on wood when I say that. Also, you know, I have enough money in my checking, my savings account to where I can pay my car off and still have money coming in over the next month or so and be okay. So I'm going to go ahead and pay off the car most likely on June 12th, which means it could show up on June 13th and my bank is paid off, which is pretty cool because the next day is my birthday and that'll be a nice birthday present for me to see my car paid off. So that's exciting.
A better birthday present would be for somebody else to pay off your car.
That's a good point. Well, you know what? I'll ask the person whose house I'm occupying if they'd like to. Okay.
I just paid off my car.
So you're used to it. So, yeah, that's going to happen. And that will leave me with just my credit card. It's a big balance. It's like $14,000. I'll get into why it's $800 more than it should be here in a minute. And that'll be the last thing I have. And the good thing about that is over the next couple months, I'm going to keep saving money just in case something happens with the job. And then once I'm very, very comfortable with the job, once we get out of this whole COVID thing, which it looks like we're on our way out of as of right now, who really knows, but that's what it looks like. once we're out of this whole thing, then I'll take whatever money I have in my account minus $1,000 and I'll put it on the credit card and then I'll just pay it down like crazy. And because it's the only thing I have other than my normal bills, I'll be able to put a lot on it per month. One issue is, of course, that I'm going to Las Vegas in August, September, and November this year, and that's going to make it a little bit tougher. My neighbor just parked his car in my driveway for some reason. That's weird. Sorry. Shiny things. And it's shiny. It's silver. So it caught my eye. All right. So let's talk about something else that's going on here. Let's talk about my Facebook page, my Facebook author page. I'm up 14 likes from last week, from 112 to 126. I told you guys last week that I was going to look into the Facebook ads and I was going to look into Mark Dawson's course. And I have started doing that. There was a video that I put out there, my trailer that I got, I don't know how long ago, I got that 6-8 months ago. And that has been boosted, put a couple dollars a day towards that. And that's how I'm getting likes. And yesterday an ad was created for my book and a couple dollars a month. I watched Mark Dawson's course. I watched some of it, the early parts of it yesterday, to get an idea of how to build an audience and stuff that I had already done, but I wanted to hear him talk about it too. So we created the first ad and put it out there and we're going to see what happens. It's going to be, again, this is not going to cost me very much money. I'm not spending a whole lot. This is just something I want to test with. And I want to try to find audiences that get me the best results so that when book two comes out, I can advertise book one heavily to that audience to see if I can make something work. One of the things in Mark Dawson's course that I really, you and I have talked about this in the past, and it's based on when you did yours, you boosted a post a bunch of months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got some negative comments. Mm-hmm. What did you do with those negative comments? I don't remember.
I deleted them.
Okay. So I think I probably told you not to. I just don't remember. But Mark Dawson said, delete them. He said, delete them immediately.
Yeah.
He said, it's like if you're trying to, his metaphor, which we've learned in this podcast that I'm not good at. He said that imagine if you're trying to sell a car and somebody comes in and says bad things about it, you wouldn't want that person sitting there saying bad things to somebody else who walks in.
Yeah. You know,
so what he said was delete it. And if it becomes a problem, then ban the person if they're doing it more than once so that they can't hurt you or they can't talk bad about you. So that's something I'm going to keep an eye on. And,
I mean, I literally sat there, my phone was with me every second of every day. It was the last thing I looked at before I went to sleep. And the first thing I looked at when I woke up, and I immediately deleted. I only blocked one person who got really, really foul.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that.
Everybody else, I just deleted their comments and never heard from them again.
Okay.
But as soon as my phone would ping, I looked at it and I deleted.
Yeah. So I'm keeping an eye on it. I do have one comment from a guy right now. He actually made two comments. He said, send me a free one. He literally put his address in the comment and said, I'm friends with a librarian. I'll put it behind glass on one of their shelves. And then the very next one said, autograph it and send me a free one. And it's like, it's the same guy. And that's not really, that makes him look stupid more than I.
Yeah. So
I'm happy to leave.
Not a negative comment. That's right. Just a comment.
When I want to make myself dumber and look at Twitter or YouTube comments, I always enjoy when I read a really dumb one that didn't get deleted, because it just makes me think, you know, that person has a bunch of friends who can, or parents or whatever, that can stumble upon that and just see how dumb their friend or relative is. And I actually, that makes me happy. So
you're teaching them a lesson.
Exactly. Yes. Well, they're kind of doing it. I remember I used to listen to this radio show back in the day. I'm gonna veer off on a quick story here. Back in the day, I used to listen to this radio show on SiriusXM called Ron and Fez. And Ron and Fez were, I believe, out of New York City. They were on in DC for a while, then they moved to New York City. And I really, really liked the show. And do you remember, I don't know if you ever heard of this in the news, there was a woman, I don't remember her name. She was the leader of this really, really terrible church in like Kansas, I think it was. She was awful, and the family was awful. They were all awful. I don't remember their name or anything. So she would do interviews, and basically the people would just shout at her during the interviews for the things she said. They were awful. They were terrible things she said. But Ron, what he would do is he would just let her talk. And the people would email him and say, Ron, why don't you yell at her? Why don't you say the things she's saying are wrong? And Ron said, because it's a lot better to just let her talk and show her stupidity and let the people see that than to just shout her down and have her hang up and go away again. And that's kind of how I feel about the people that make these really stupid comments. That's why I think I probably told you to not delete them, because people can see.
I mean,
see
if they were a stupid comment, fine. But if they're negative and disgusting, then I had one person report me, which I thought was really funny.
Report you for, like, they reported you to Facebook for paying for ad space?
Yeah, you go on with your bad self. Yeah. Facebook is the one that's doing this for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one person on Facebook that, on my personal page, that always comments the stupidest things, and I just leave it. And just, it's like comic relief for all of my friends.
Yeah. I had somebody like that eight or 9 years ago. I remember I wrote on Facebook, I put marks on my arms that matched an episode of Doctor Who. And then I took a picture and put it on Facebook. And I was like, oh my goodness, the silence is around me. One of my favorite Doctor Who villains of all time, the silence. And he posted on there something like, aren't you an adult? And then a couple days later, I think it was about TV show Alf. I think I made an Alf comment, and he was like, why don't you go outside and find a girl? Something like that.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. And I immediately unfriended him and blocked him on Facebook. And I remember he went to the mom and he was like, can you tell him to unfriend me? And she was like, no, if he wants to unfriend you, it's fine. No big deal. Yeah. So yeah, I don't like that. I do like the idea of keeping it up there though, just so other people see it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're making fun of me, but really you're just making yourself look stupid. So anyway. Yeah. Sorry. I feel like I just went on a little aside where I got on a high horse and I don't like that.
Yeah, there was a little tangent happening there.
Sorry about that. Anyway, so that is my news for this week. Hopefully I do get something from Stuart Bache in terms of a cover today or tomorrow, and I can start getting that cover taken care of. I'm really excited to put that into my newsletter and get that up on the website. I think I have a coming soon. Oh, shoot. I think my coming soon says coming soon in like June, which isn't going to happen. So I'm going to have to go to my website.
Oh, you might want to change that.
I need to make a note and change the website today.
We're done with the podcast.
I looked at my Facebook pixel stuff yesterday, and there actually are people that go to my website, so I need to check that.
You need to show me how to find all this stuff. I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, the Facebook pixel thing I had to find yesterday. I'll walk you through it. Maybe if we're together in the next few weeks, I'll show you how to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Last week was a little bit different of a week. It was Memorial Day, was Monday, so I continued working outside and got most of that finished. Tuesday, I worked through golf, so I did not write at all. I worked through lunch because I golfed at night. I did not write at all. Wednesday and Thursday were normal days. I worked 7 to 11:30, wrote until 1, and then worked until 4:30. I think I finished one of my chapters Thursday night that I started during lunch on Thursday. Friday, I was out at 11 a.m., and I had a giant list of errands to do. It was pouring rain here, so I started driving to Niles, which is about 20 minutes away, and about halfway there, my windshield wipers decided to stop working.
In the rain.
It's always fun to drive in a rainstorm with no windshield wipers. Actually, what would happen is they were going super slow when I got in the car. I didn't think anything of it, because what do I know about cars? I just thought they were, I don't know, sleepy. I haven't driven in 2 months much, so maybe they were tired. They needed to be energized. I had no idea. And about halfway there,
your windshield wipers need to warm up.
Yeah, they need to warm up. My car always needs to warm up in the winter. Maybe the windshield wipers need to warm up. What would happen is I would hit the button and they would go up really slow. And then they would start to go back down, and they'd get right in front of my line of sight and just stop. So like I would have to move my head to look on the other side of them, the side that just went. And then they would kind of flinch a little bit. They would twitch. And I have a really terrible joke in my head right now that I'm not going to say. I'll tell you after we're done. Okay. And then they would like move down a little bit and then down a little bit. And then finally they'd get back down. And then I'd be like, okay, how long can I wait before I have to hit them again? So it was like 10 minutes, you know, a good 8 to 10 miles of driving, really with windshield wipers going like once every 2 minutes in a rainstorm. It was quite interesting. Oh, but I drove straight to Pep Boys, and I went inside of a Pep Boys and said, can you guys look at this? And they said, sure. He said, if it's just a screw that came loose, then we can fix that. But if it's, we have to take your car apart, it's going to take a little bit longer. And of course they had to take the car apart. So while I'm sitting there waiting, before I get to the results of the windshield wipers, while I'm sitting there waiting, I get an email alert from my credit card saying someone in Canada just used my credit card for $820 at a rental car place. I forget which, I think it was Budget Rent-A-Car. And I thought, well, that's not good. So I called Bank of America and said, hey, this just happened. What do I do? And they basically said, well, it's still pending. You can't do anything until it's posted. So you have to wait until it's posted, and then you can, dispute it. You can dispute it. So it, as of this morning, it's still pending. It's not posted. So I can't really do anything except open up my stupid credit card statement every day and see an additional $820 that I didn't spend. I'm hoping maybe it'll go away. Maybe it's still pending and then it'll go away, but that seems too easy. So I doubt that's what actually happens.
Yeah. Canadians are really friendly. So chances are you'll get a call from a Canadian and they'll apologize for using your credit card. I love Canadians.
Any Canadian or?
I'm sure there's bad Canadians, but all the ones that I know are like the best people ever.
Well, yeah, that's a stereotype of the Canadians, is like the most polite people ever.
I mean, I've been to Canada numerous times. Jeremy's family is in Canada. And they basically take up three whole towns. I've never run into like a rude person in Canada, even the ones that aren't related. I love Canadians.
Remember we used to drive to Windsor and we would always.
Yeah, that's basically Michigan.
we would stop at the Harrow Bakery and get donuts. I remember. I would go to the casino and across the border in Windsor. That's really my only memories of Canada.
Anyway. we go about 4 hours north of Toronto. It's the sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. I don't know. I've never been there. My golf partner, my teammate in golf is actually Canadian, and he's a combination of really fun and polite and nice and really funny. So yeah, I guess I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they came back to me and said, hey, your windshield wipers transmission is broke. So I assume that means like the transmission isn't transmitting. I don't really know what transmissions do, because again, I don't know cars. he said that they had to order one. This was Friday. He had to order one. It would be next day and it would show up on Saturday, and it would take about 45 minutes and they would let me know when it was done. And then I'd have my car back, and it's Sunday and I don't have my car back because FedEx didn't show up yesterday to them. So it's not looking like I'm going to have my car back until tomorrow. And I think I texted you at one point, it's a good thing this happened this weekend and not next weekend.
Yeah.
So yesterday I wrote a little bit during the day. Actually, it was a little later in the evening. I worked on my outsides a little bit more and finished everything except for I have to buy one more of those pavers. And I was going to go Friday after my windshield wipers were fixed, or if I didn't have to go to the windshield wipers at all, I was going to go Friday to Home Depot and buy it. But I haven't got it yet for obvious reasons. So I don't know if I'm going to go get, I have to go get my car at some point, maybe tomorrow, maybe I'll stop at Home Depot and get the paver while I'm out there. I was also going to go to the BMV because, as I mentioned, my birthday's coming up and I was going to get my license renewed and my tag for my license plate renewed. I didn't do any of those things because of the whole windshield wiper fiasco. So that was Friday. And then Saturday, like I said, I wrote a little bit. This morning I got up and wrote a little bit more. And then today we're doing the podcast. And then I mentioned all those things I had to do. I'm probably going to take a look at my story origin blurb and see how I can change that. I'm going to schedule an email through MailerLite for tomorrow. I'm going to decide whether I want to pay for MailerLite. I don't know. I got to look at my website now and make sure that I don't promise that my book's out on the 23rd of June, original date. And, that was pretty much it for last week. How about you?
last week was normal for me, I guess you could say. Every day we had dinner at Anna's. It's just what we do. And then we watched two 80s movies every night. So we usually start movies around 6:30. And then when the first one's over at like 8, we're like, it's only 8 o'clock. We'll just show another one. So I'm continuing my 10 to 4 writing time. It's going fairly well. Like I said, with Jeremy and Kian home, I can't focus as diligently as I would like because apparently they can't do anything without asking me questions. I don't know what they do when I'm not here. Do they just like sit and stare at the ceiling?
They probably just ask
because when I'm here, they ask me 10 million questions. Anyway, Monday I didn't have any classes. I was supposed to be in Florida, but the whole COVID thing killed that. I did finish chapter 17 of draft 6, and I was all caught up to Mom. At Anna's, we watched Beetlejuice and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Tuesday, I didn't have any classes because, again, I was supposed to be in Florida. I revised chapters 1 and 2 of the prequel. We watched Brewster's Millions and Clue, which are two of my favorite 80s movies.
Clue is one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And Anna didn't know that there was the three different endings.
Has she never seen it before?
Apparently not the DVD, maybe when it was on TV or something. Oh my gosh, it was so fun to watch her watch these three different endings. She was just so excited. anyway, Wednesday I taught 4 classes. I revised chapter 3 of the prequel. We watched Cocoon and Coming to America. Thursday I taught 4 classes. I revised chapter 4 and we watched Fletch and Flight of the Navigator, which I seem to recall you texting me and scolding me for watching Fletch. But we have other plans, so deal with it.
Fletch is my all-time favorite movie.
Oh, it's a great movie.
When I was working at, remember I worked at Sesta's Golden Gate when I was like 18 and 19. It was really the first time I was getting any kind of a paycheck, and I would go every Friday to the video store, and I would rent Fletch, and then every Friday I would rent Fletch. And at one point, the woman behind the counter said, "Why don't you just buy it?" So I did.
Uh-huh.
I think I actually
did you not know that was an option?
I probably just never thought about it. I think I actually have the VHS, the DVD, and I own a digital copy of it right now as we speak. So yeah. It's one of my favorites. Well, it is my favorite actually. Yeah,
it's a good one. Mm-hmm. Friday I taught 2 classes. I revised chapter 5. I watched Funny Farm and Ghostbusters. I love Funny Farm. I love it.
That's one that I haven't seen very much. Like I couldn't tell you the last time I saw it.
Oh gosh, that's a great movie. I actually have in my bio on my website, I mentioned Funny Farm. Yesterday, I took my car in for an oil change, finished revising chapter 5, and we watched Ghostbusters 2 and In the Army Now, which we realize is a 90s movie. We just really like it. So we watched it. And you know how like you watch a movie and then you hear that there's going to be a sequel and you're like, oh, sequels are never as good. I like Ghostbusters 2 better than Ghostbusters 1.
Wow. That is a bold statement.
I know.
I believe the kids call that a hot take.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to lose followers over it.
Is it just because the guy who is in Ally McBeal is in it?
I've never seen Ally McBeal.
Oh, that hurts. Now you're going to lose me as a follower.
Doubtful.
you might be the only person who says they like Ghostbusters 2.
I really do. I like the slime. I like the music, the soundtrack better. Well,
Bobby Brown's Ghostbusters song is awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we were watching it and Jeremy and I are just singing along and Anna's like, how do you know these words?
So they packed up, regrouped, got a grip, came equipped. Yeah.
Grab their proton packs on the back and they split. Yeah. Found out about Vigo, the master of evil. Ego. Sure. Yeah. Anyway. Today, podcast. Oh, so usually we do our Zoom call with our friends on Saturday. And at about 1:55, 5 minutes before the Zoom call, I texted and said, hey, are we Zooming at 2? Because usually I get a link emailed to me from Melissa. She's the one that kind of heads it up. And she was like, oh, shoot, I'm at a Boy Scout function. And I said, well, when are you going to be done? And she said, never.
Nice.
So we postponed our Zoom call with our friends till today at 2, and we're going to play the Newlywed Game. And I'm really excited for it. I don't know if I talked about this last week on the podcast, but of the four couples, really, there's Jeremy and I, there's Melissa and Reed, there's Doug and Dana, and then my daughter Paris and her boyfriend, Kevin, are going to play as well. They're not married, but we still include them. But of those four couples, Jeremy and I have been together the longest. We've been together for 28 years. We've been married for, in July, it'll be 23 years. Doug and Dana have been married for 13, Melissa and Reed 19. And of course, Kevin and Paris aren't married yet, but they've been together for like 5 years. So whenever we play the newlywed game, we're always kind of like the veteran married couple, and we always lose. Like, we don't just lose. We lose badly. I can't figure it out.
Okay.
So my goal for today is to win the newlywed game.
Oh, okay.
And revise chapter 6. That's pretty important, too. Like I said before, my plan was to do 2 chapters a day, but it seems like I'm only able to get 1 chapter done, so that's fine. Whatever. My running list of future things to do, the only thing I have on there is make a Google form for the street team. I feel like I need to research street teams a little bit more, make a plan. What do I want my street team to do? You know, things like that. So I do need to start working on that, but I'm so involved in getting book one and the prequel done that I really haven't taken much time to do anything else book-wise. And I think once I get through mom's revisions of book one and send the prequel to mom, that I'll be able to rest a little bit. Of course, I say that now, but then I'm going to think of 500 other things that I have to do. But once mom is done with this pass over book one, and then once she goes over the prequel, she's done with my stuff until book two. So I'm sure she's ready for a break.
Mine are pretty much the same, but I have started the Merlite automation sequence. Not done with that yet. I think I'm going to create a brand new one and just convert people over to it since book two. Maybe when my cover is ready, I'll start a brand new one that runs for a couple months that just shows in my cover. And then once book two is released, I'll change it again. To keep that in mind when I'm creating this one. Keep it in mind so that maybe it'll be easy to just make one little change and it becomes a new one with, instead of the cover, it'll be like, okay, the book is out there. So
yeah,
it's one. Create a web page for people who finish book one. I have to do that at some point. I guess I don't have to, but I should. And that probably will take me a day or so just to make sure that I get all the wording right. I might get fancy with it, but probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. Story origin. Like I said, I want to do a newsletter swap. I actually want to do a newsletter swap, but I want to wait a little while because I feel like the more people I have on my list, the better it will look. So, you know, when you go there, you can see this person has 935 and they actually give their open rate and their click rate, you know, and I want to get more on there so that if I have 600 people and there's somebody out there with 1,000, they'll be like, yeah, I'll swap with you. You have much less than me, but I'm happy to swap with you. Instead of having like 400 and trying to get somebody with 1,000, it'd be nice to get 600 and try to find someone with 1,000.
Yeah.
So, that's why I've kind of put that off a little bit. I'm waiting. I also want to wait until my cover is ready. And I want to do that, but I'm going to wait a little bit longer on that. And then I have the Patreon and the autographed paperbacks. I was reading a little bit more about autographed paperbacks yesterday. Using something like there's a website out there called PayHip that you can use to sell things. It's kind of like PayPal, I guess. It's a way for people to buy stuff off of your site. I haven't done much more than that, but that's where I'm at. Addicted to for the week. So I don't really have anything this week that I'm addicted to. I was thinking of one right before we started the podcast. I was thinking of something, but now I don't remember what it is. But just to say, this week will probably be different because I was reading Facebook a couple days ago and Craig Martell had posted in the 20 books thread that Brandon Sanderson did a shout out to 20 books on his YouTube channel. Now, I don't know if you know who Brandon Sanderson is. He is a pretty big name in the traditional published world over the last 8 or 9 years. I think, I don't know if it's much longer than that, maybe 10 or 12 years. He's written a lot of fantasy books that are really, really long, like 800,000 pages, something like that. And, but what the more importantly, in terms of this podcast, He teaches a writing class at, I believe it's BYU in Utah. I think it's BYU. And he puts every one of his classes online. So for the last, I don't know how many years, 6, 7, 8 years, you can go back and you can find every class he's taught and like an hour and 15 minute video or an hour video of him teaching the class to students. And I've watched a bunch of them already, but it appears that over the last few weeks, this current 2019-2020 school year's classes have gone up online. And the reason I know that is because I watched episode 12 last night and this morning, right? No, I watched episode 12 last night and then episode 1 this morning, where he, episode 12, he was at his house in front of a whiteboard doing the online class. And episode 1, he was in the classroom. So I'm pretty sure it's the most current year. And I'm probably going to watch all of those over the next week or so. I like watching his classes. And it's basically a writing class. He talks about how to create characters, how to create plot. The one I watched this morning was just an intro. The one from yesterday was all about indie publishing versus traditional publishing. And I really like his class. So I'm going to watch those, I'm sure. As I'm working throughout the week, it'll probably just be on my computer on YouTube as kind of as if I was listening to a podcast, because that's really all it is. You're just, you know, if you watch it, you're just watching him stand and teach. But
yeah,
you can just listen to it and get the same thing. So I'm probably going to listen to that throughout the week as I'm working, or as I'm writing, because I can't listen to something else I'm writing. But as I'm working or in the evening, if there's nothing on, I might do that. So that's really where I am with the Addicted to. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I don't have anything, but I've really been jonesing for Anna's cookies.
This again.
Which, I think probably late this week or early next weekend, she'll make another batch of cookies. So, okay. Yeah, I'll be ready for that.
Okay.
This week, Monday, I have one class, and I'm going to work on Chapter 7 of the prologue. Tuesday, one class, I'll work on Chapter 8. Wednesday, I teach 4 classes. Oh, do you remember I talked about the dishwasher last week?
Yep.
And how, like, should I order it? Should I not order it? I got a text from Paris Sunday evening, I think it was. Maybe it was Monday evening. And she said, order the dishwasher. And I was like, what are you, how did you know? I didn't even tell her about the dishwasher, but she had listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
So I decided on Tuesday, I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'm going to order the dishwasher, even though our dishwasher is fine. I'm going to order the dishwasher. So I ordered it. Thursday morning, I woke up and I started to empty the dishwasher, but they weren't clean. Oh. What the heck? So the soap dispenser hadn't opened. It didn't, like, the little door didn't pop open. So I put everything back and I closed it up and I went to hit the start button and nothing happened. No lights came on, zilch. So I checked the fuse box to make sure that I didn't just pop a fuse, but I didn't. There is no reason why our dishwasher isn't working. Thankfully, I ordered the new dishwasher.
Yeah, it's nice.
Good and timing. It's due to be delivered on Wednesday, which I'm really excited about because we're hand washing dishes. And I'm having like these horrible flashbacks of Hawaii when we didn't have a dishwasher and it was awful. Thursday, I teach 4 classes. I'm going to work on Chapter 9 of the prologue and get that sent over to Mom. The one thing I've noticed when I'm working on this prologue is I wrote this last year, more than a year ago, when I hadn't done any of Mom's revisions of book 1. So it's like really bad. And I can see in the prologue where I'm telling and not showing. That's a good sign, right?
Yep, that's a very good sign.
And I'm finding more prep phrases at the end of my sentences that I'm taking out too. I am actually, last night I took 1 through 5, because those are the chapters that I've done, and I plugged them into Grammarly. And I went through, there were like 130 some corrections or whatever. So I went through and I fixed all of those. And then I bought the Hemingway app. Somebody told us about Hemingway.
I believe it was Brian, my friend Brian. He tweeted at both of us about the Hemingway app. I've heard of it. I don't know anything about it. What is it?
Okay. So it's a lot like Grammarly, but it tells you like... according to them, you should have less than X number of adverbs. So like, and it'll highlight all of your adverbs. It'll highlight, let me see, let me just open it real quick. So it highlights adverbs. It highlights uses of passive voice, like phrases that have a simpler alternative. My sentences, they're really wordy and I'm working on that. So like in chapters 1 through 5, I have 42 sentences out of 625 that are hard to read and 13 that are very hard to read. So it highlights everything in different colors. And I don't change every one of them just because Hemingway says that it's hard to read. If I can simplify it, I will certainly simplify it. If it's really long and I think, oh, I should probably split this up into two sentences, you know, it at least highlights this stuff for me so that I can see it. It tells me how many words and it tells me the readability. So like for when I first opened this up and I put my stuff in there, it says readability is good, grade 4. And I was like, I'm writing for a fourth grader? Like that can't be good. So then I Googled grade levels for like famous people, you know, and Jane Austen is like grade 6. So I don't feel so bad about my grade 4. And it also, I also read that like the average grade level for the average writer is grade 4. So
I don't understand. Would it be better to have I just put in the chapter that I worked on this morning. I just pasted it into here on their website. And I have 3 adverbs, which meets the goal of 9 or fewer. I have 1 use of passive voice. I have 0 phrase that have simple alternatives. I have 2 of 64 that are hard to read and 0 of 64 that are very hard to read. My grade is 1.
So that's
was that
like,
good or bad?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's necessarily a good or bad rating in the research that I did about this whole grade 4, because it freaked me out. Like, I don't want to write at a grade 4 level. That seems, I'm not 10.
That means, you know, more people could read your book.
Yes. So that's why it's kind of like a give and take.
Right.
If I were to write like an 11th grade level, then not too many people would read my book because it would just be too hard. You know, there's a lot of people, Jane Austen is grade level 6, and there's a lot of people who don't know how to read or understand Jane Austen books.
Right.
So I think having a lower grade level is okay.
So
I don't think that there's
what did you get by what did you get by buying this? Do you know? Because I just pasted it in here and I got some results and everything.
I don't remember because I did that the first time too, just to see what it was like. But then it said like if you buy it, it's like unlimited and like I don't remember.
Okay. Well, Grammarly was the same way because you can use Grammarly for free, but I bought it and I got more than whatever the, like maybe they just do your grammar for free and then they do a bunch of other stuff. I don't remember off the top of my head what the difference is, but yeah. So that's probably what it is you probably got more options here by buying it.
Does yours have where it says the number of words?
Yeah. 547.
Okay, is there a little arrow under that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have that too. It's reading time. So it would take 25 minutes to read these 5 chapters of this prologue. I have 27,000 letters, 34,000 characters, 6,300 words, 625 sentences, 243 paragraphs. I don't know why anybody would need to know that, but I like statistics, so I find it fascinating.
I like numbers. Can you change the goals? Like it says, mine says 3 adverbs meeting the goal of 9 or fewer. Can you change like the goal? I mean, if I want to have 3 adverbs.
No, I try to click on that to like see if it'll condense into just those particular words or sentences, but it doesn't. I haven't like gone through it a whole lot.
I like this. I highlighted one of the adverbs that it highlighted was your favorite word, just. So I wrote it in this. So I hovered over it and it says qualifier, be bold, don't hedge.
Yeah.
That's like yelling at me.
Well, it's not capital letters, so it's just
that's true.
Speaking firmly,
right?
Yeah, but yeah, I do really like. I really do like this Hemingway editor, and like I said, I put it through Grammarly first, and then Hemingway, and I feel like it's just kind of making my writing better. Things that I don't notice when I'm just writing, you know, things that mom is going to find. So this is maybe like taking away some of her job, which is great because she has a big job when she edits my stuff. Anyway, so that's where I am for, let's see here. That was Thursday. Yeah. Send the prologue to mom. Friday, I had one class. Friday, I have one class and I'm going to work on mom's revisions of draft six of book one. Saturday is our Zoom call and I'll continue to work on draft six. Sunday, podcast laundry and draft six. I'm just going to, once this prologue is done, I'm just going to get through draft six and then I'm going to work on the beta readers feedback for draft six and basically just do that until I have to send it to the editor. But that's where I am this week. That was really long.
Mine is going to be a little different again. I don't really have any normal weeks apparently nowadays. So, today I mentioned I have a couple little things to do in terms of website, email, things like that. Tomorrow is a normal work day. I'll probably write from 11:30 to 1. Tuesday I work through lunch again because I golf in the evening. Wednesday and Thursday are just like Monday. And then the fun begins. Friday I have a half a day. I'm out at 11. And then I'm going to pack up a bunch of stuff, including my dog, and I'm going to drive to your house.
Yes.
Or, I'm going to start driving to your house.
You're going to start driving.
I'm going to stop at my buddy Brian's house, which he's about 2.5 hours from me, and hang out with him for a couple hours. And then I am going to, from there, drive to your daughter's house in Dayton and spend the night at her apartment with her and Kevin. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get up Saturday morning and drive the rest of the way to your house, which I'm happy to make a 12-hour drive in one day down to an 8-hour drive on Saturday instead.
Yeah.
I'm taking my dog with me, which is a little bit – I'm – not nervous. I feel bad because he's going to be trapped in the car for 8 hours. I'm going to have to, you know, every couple hours stop at a rest stop and make sure I walk him out around a little bit and let him stretch his legs. I could probably drive.
I think you should feel bad about that though. He just wants to be with his human. So he's going to just be happy just to be with you and not left at home. You know?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the questions that I have are like, okay, when it comes time for me to have to like stop and go to the bathroom or want to get something to eat, I'll probably go through a drive-through to get food. But like if I have to go to the bathroom, I can leave him in the car for 3 minutes.
It'll be too hot to leave him in the car.
So what do I do?
You'll have to stop at rest stops, like not restaurants or.
I can't take the dog in the bathroom, can I?
In a rest area, you can, not in a restaurant.
I didn't even know that. Okay. Yeah, so it's going to be quite the interesting drive.
But I mean, you're a dude, so you can literally pull over, open on the passenger side of your car, open your back door and the front door, and just go.
I'm not going to do that. That's probably not what I'm going to do. Well, I mean, I'm okay on a golf course doing it, but just pulling off to the side of the road, no, that's not going to happen.
I mean, we've had to do that more than once for Kian. And if you open the back door and the front door, you're kind of like enclosed. Sure. So nobody can really see anything at all.
Well, I did that last week, 2 weeks ago, and I golfed on Sunday morning between the 9 holes and the 18 holes. We drove back to my car because I wanted to change from long pants to shorts. And that's exactly what I did. I just opened 2 car doors and just changed my clothes. But not
so when you're on a golf course and people are like walking or nearly stopped, you'll do it. But not when you're on the side of a freeway where people are doing like 80.
Yeah. Because I think it's understood at a golf course.
It's understood on the side of the road when you're a dude.
I guess. I've never done that before. I don't know.
Step out of your comfort zone. Pee on the side of the road. Just do it.
Some of the weirdest extrovert advice you've ever given me, but okay. And then that means Saturday I'll get to your house. I don't know what time. If I leave her house, like I'm not going to be in a huge hurry. But if I leave, let's say by 8, I'll get to your house by 5, which is good because I'm not getting there late.
Maybe 6, depending on Atlanta traffic.
And how often I stop. How is Atlanta traffic on a Saturday evening?
Horrible.
Is it really? It's bad like that all the time?
Always. Terrible. I mean, you may not come to a stop like you would at like 6 o'clock on, you know, during the week, but there's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of people switching lanes,
Yeah.
It's a big city.
Which worries me about the fact that I'm going to drive home from your house on a Monday morning, which means I'm going to either have to leave at like 3 a.m., which I don't want to do, or 9 a.m., which I don't want to do, because 9 a.m. gets me home at like 11 o'clock at night.
And
3 a.m. means I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the
but
morning.
But if you left here at like 6, you may not get home until 9.
Eight or nine, right. Which is fine.
Because you're going to be stuck in traffic.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay.
In Atlanta and in Cincinnati, you'll get stuck. Because you'll hit Cincinnati's Atlanta traffic fine. In the morning rush hour and Cincinnati in the afternoon rush hour.
Yeah. I wonder what rush hour is like nowadays with not everybody going back to work yet.
There's going to be a lot of traffic.
I've done Cincinnati before. I don't think Cincinnati's that bad. I might go around Cincinnati because you can go – when you're in Kentucky, you can hit the high. Yeah. It's like 270 or whatever 70 it is that goes
around. Yeah, it kind of goes with the bypass. Yeah, there's a bypass around Atlanta as well, but it sucks just as much as going straight through Atlanta. So you might as well just go straight through Atlanta.
Yeah. All right, we'll figure that out. So that'll be Saturday. Yeah. And then Sunday, obviously, I'll be at your house. We will record the podcast, I'm assuming, Sunday morning. This time, I have to pack up my podcast stuff, my microphone, and figure out how we're going to do that. I'm going to try to, while I'm at your house for the week, I'm going to continue to try to write. I'm working from home each day. I'm working from your home though. So I'm not taking any vacation days. So I'll still be working 7 to 4:30 or maybe 7 to 4. We'll see how that goes, but I'm still going to try to write at lunch as many times as I can. I don't want to have a whole week of not doing anything at all. So.
Yeah, no, I literally sit in my office and work all day long. I do get interrupted because Jeremy and Kian are here. I mean, the dog needs to go out or whatever. But I sit in this big chair that I'm sitting in now. My desk is right there. I have a door. I have a TV. It's quite comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. That's my week. And that's actually the podcast. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I talked a lot this week. Jeez.
Yeah.
I feel like I need water.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find me at jerryevanoff.com. You can email me jerry@jerryevanoff.com. I mean, you can find me on Twitter. I'm kind of getting tired of Twitter right now. But you can still
very political.
It's a combination of a few things. Political is one of them, but I don't really like it. Facebook, which I'm not a huge fan of anyway, but in terms of the author stuff, you can like my author page or just friend me and I'll probably accept it. And then I have Snapchat, which I actually like Snapchat. I'm probably going to do Friday and Saturday, I'm probably going to do a diary type thing as I'm driving on Snapchat.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Haven't decided how much I'm going to do it yet, but I'm definitely going to do it. So you can find me on Snapchat. No, right. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. You can find me on Snapchat and just look at the show notes because it's all in there on how to find me on Snapchat. And then Instagram.
You're like, I'm done talking. Just looking for the show notes.
Instagram. Yeah, I don't do much there either. So.
No, you don't do anything there. Hmm. Yeah. You can find me at lindsayevanoff.com. You can email me, lindsay@lindsayevanoff.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/LindsayEvanoffAuthor, Instagram @LindsayEvanoffAuthor, and Twitter @EvanoffLindsay. So if you like our podcast, give us a review on the podcast page, and until next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the New Author Podcast. Check back next week for another episode. And for more information, find Jerry at www.jerryevanoff.com and Lindsay at www.lindsayevanoff.com.